Okay, we still talking about be sober, be vigilant, that God teaches us to war. He teaches my hands to war. Let's say it together, everybody. Teaches my hands to war. Let's say it louder. He teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Because there is a fight out there. There is confrontation that we all face. And so God teaches us how to handle those things. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he started to tell us to be sober. 1 Peter 5, 8, to be sober, to be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And then we're instructed to stand firm against him and be strong in our faith. That's the next verse after chapter 8. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are going through. So we're told, yes, there's a roaring, there's an enemy there that's walking around like a roaring lion, but we're instructed to stand firm against him. And God will not ask you or me to stand against a trailer when he hasn't armed us to be able to do that. So when God says to stand firm against this enemy, it means we can stand firm against him. And so he said to us that we should remember that even if you are not a Christian, that other people who are not Christians, he's not having mercy on them either. So that we should remain in our faith and not run away from our faith because of trials of life. Because if you run away, he's reminding you that there is no place you are running away to. That even those people who are not Christians, he's also dealing with them. So he said, your brothers all over the world are going through the same. All the Christians, the people, he's just running and just looking for who he would devour. And so we need to understand that we have to do the resisting ourselves. We need to stand firm ourselves and do what the Bible told us to do. And then we are told neither give place to the devil. So these are instructions that the Lord gave to the church, gave to you, and gave to me. Because this confrontation is always ongoing. Comes in different forms, comes in different ways, but it is there. And then the Bible tells us exactly who our enemies are, so that we don't fight the wrong battles. In Ephesians 6 verse 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So our enemies are not human beings, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So the Holy Spirit categorizes demonic groups into four. He said the first group is principalities, the second group is powers, the third group is rulers of darkness, the fourth group is wicked spirits in heavenly places. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, in contrasting his mission with that of the devil, told us what all these categories of demonic spirits do. And he told us what he also came to do. So in John chapter 10, verse 7, I'm reading New Living Translation. Jesus, in contrasting his mission on earth with the mission of the enemy, he said, in verse 7, so he explained to them, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, because they were raising disciples after themselves. And so he said they were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Verse 9, yes, I am the gate. Other translation says, I am the door. Those who come in through me will be what? Saved. Which means the door to salvation is through Christ. If you create any other door, you are among the robbers, you are among the thieves he's talking about. You can't provide salvation through any other means except entering into Christ, except faith in Christ. He says, I am the gate into the salvation. I am the gate to God. I'm the door to God. Nobody can create any other gate. You become a robber of souls and a thief. Because the devil is the one doing all of that, trying to steal the souls of men and destroy them. This thing should be clear to us so that we do not want to create something else that is not faith in Christ Jesus. You cannot get into there by your good works, because none of us is the gate. So he says, those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pasture. Then he says, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So he contrasted his purpose with that of all these hosts of demons that the Bible tells us about. That they come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the Bible tells us what we have been armed with to confront them. Some of the things that the Bible tells us, the weapons that we have, some of them are armor, some of them are offensive weapons. And we must know how to use them. Because the battle is real. I just said it this morning, that all you need to do is to look at the world in which you live, in which I live. It will be clear to you that something is happening. All the values of Christianity is under attack. Everything that Jesus taught is being attacked. And attacked by the very powerful institutions. And with threats, very serious threats, loss of job, imprisonment. Somebody went to jail because he couldn't sign on gay marriage. She went to jail in a country that says we are a free country. The reason she was brought out was that the other countries will be preaching democracy to start screaming on their newspapers that America is throwing people in jail for gay marriage and they released women in jail. It became very embarrassing. Every value that Jesus propounds for the church is under demonic attack. The marriage institution is under severe demonic attack. The devil is creating useless alternatives that don't work at all. And it may shock you to know that if you go south of our border here now, that marriage is now a 3-year contract. After 3 years, if you don't come back, then the marriage is over. The reason is because the rate of divorce is too high that they said, okay, every 3 years, if we don't see you back here, then we assume that your marriage is over. Which means you come and renew this thing every 3 years with us. So you don't have to go through lawyers anymore. And in New Jersey, where we live now, it is called no-cost law. The courts are not there to tell you not to divorce. They are there to share the children for you. So if you walk in there and say, I want a divorce, they say, you're welcome. They are not there to say, can we sort it, settle it? No, they call it no-cost law. Am I right? No-cost is means we don't care about the cost. You just go your way. Well, we care. Do you have children? Yeah, so we share it for you. You have property, we share it for you. But the divorce, we are not interested. If you want, you go. And it doesn't even require two partners coming to talk. It only requires one person. coming and say, I'm no more interested. They call it no cost law. And they want to know that our state is one state where there is no law against bigamy. And then bigamy and all this type of marriages that are abominations is in our state, that a woman can marry the son. You live here, you don't even know. New Jersey has no law against that's what they call it. That kind of thing. There's no law against it. So all those people who want to marry, incest, there's no law in New Jersey against this. Some states have, we don't. In case you have no idea, New Jersey is now the capital of pornography. If you go up Atlantic City, it's worse than Las Vegas right now. That's where we live. That's where you live. That's where we live. And so demonic activities is on the rise. Many people that started this race with you are no more Christians. Pastors came here with their families and they threw the women out, threw the children out. Pastors who were Jinjin pastors in Nigeria came here, threw their wife out because they're American. Heads of Christian organizations, very big organizations, came here and they are no more interested in marriage. Somebody walked in here today to me, said, Pastor, I need to come back to this church. He said, because when I go to church, they are fighting. I said, even this morning they were fighting. And it's called a church. He said, I'm coming back here. He told me, he said, the word of God is a key thing now. He said, as I'm talking to you this morning, they are fighting there, quarreling there. There is rebellion among children. Rebellion all over the place. I know rebellion is a sign of demonic activity. And the Bible says that men will not keep covenants. And they will mock God and make fun of God. And it's happening. I don't want to go giving you a litany of what they say on television about Christ, about the Bible. They call the Bible a hate speech book. And even read some of it and laugh at it. So a lot of people, and even people that you come to church with, before long, their passion about Jesus is what? Going down. They used to be on fire for the Lord. Now the fire is out. They're on their way out of their faith. I don't mind telling you the truth. Because these things don't happen overnight. It eats your feet. And before long, all you do is find fault. Where you used to have excitement, there's no more excitement. There's fault, you have a litany of fault. As if to say, you yourself have no fault. And before long, you don't see them in the body of Christ no more. You know, you backslide first in heart before you backslide first. As far as God is concerned, you are gone. And you know the devil knows those that are his too. Don't kid yourself. When Paul showed up, was preaching the gospel, and then some people thought that this is something you just do what you like. The sons of Sceva, they were looking for demonized people, and they went and said, in the name of Jesus, that Paul is a Christian. And the devil said, there is nothing I will see. He said, I know Jesus very well, and I know Paul also. But you people, where did you come from? So everybody now is coming to bother me. He pounced on them and left them naked. Seven people ran out of the house completely naked. But that's what he's doing to people. Go on the streets and see people who are naked on the streets. They call it fashion. I can't, for the life of me, I don't understand how you can wear a rag and call it fashion. So these things are, and the Bible warned us that this is good. It says an urgent message to the church. And that's why many are called. Few will make it. Few will make it. Don't deceive yourself. Because that's true. Jesus never tell us a lie. He said, many are called, many, but only few will make it. But those of us that are listening this morning, I want to encourage you to understand that if you don't engage in this confrontation, you'll be a victim of it. Because in this confrontation, there is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. There is no, it's either you're on top of it or it's on top of you, one way or the other. I used to have somebody that I know, if I call this person's name, all of you will be yelling that after so long, don't know what, why things are doing, came back to me and told me that he categorizes Jesus as not sinless. I said, why did you hear that? It's the church he went to. And he, I'm telling you, I told him, I said, this is terrible. And I began to show him scriptures. Before long, he was crying in my office. He was crying so much that he knelt down. I said, no, don't kneel down, I'm not God. I said, you've been deceived. How dare you call the sinless Son of God something like that? That's the devil speaking through you. Even the Bible says he was tempted yet without what? See, how dare you speak this way? Where is your mind, my friend? They took it away. He was crying in my office. He was in everything. This is somebody who you lead groups around. Group around here. All this fellowship. Around here. And nobody knew what was happening. Except the wife called me and said, Daddy, you must see me. My heart is broken. As I understand. I don't even know where your passion for Jesus now is. If you still have your first love for him, or other things have become primary by him. I don't know. I'm not fooling myself. When Jesus said, many will be called by me, but few will be chosen, I know that's a fact. All you need to do is to make sure you are in the few. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Make sure what? You are in the few. That's all. It's choice. It's choice. I was asking some people, I said, you can argue all you want to about life, but one thing is sure. If the route you are going is the wrong route, one day you will arrive at calamity. You can argue from here till Monday, but if you are headed towards a ravine, one day you will arrive at that ravine and you fall over. Then the argument will end. I said, suppose you close your eyes and you argue about Jesus. And suppose you close your eyes and die and there's hell. I said, who will you blame? Who will you blame? All the things that, all the flimsy reasons we give is just demonic excuses for you to backslide and destroy your soul. If you love something, there's no excuse you want to do. Once you hear excuses, you don't want to do. Once you begin to hear excuses, you are not interested in that thing. If you are interested in it, you won't, there's no excuse. Oh, pastor, I'm busy, you are not interested in it. And some bottom line about it is, at the end of the day, you will be the victim of your excuses. Not me. Because I'll be the victim of my own things that I allow or disallow. So the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:14, stand your ground. Do what? Stand your ground. Putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Stand your ground. Tell your neighbor, stand your ground. You got to stand your ground and put on the belt of truth. The belt of what? Truth. Which means if you don't know the truth, you have nothing to hold your weapons together. When soldiers go to battle, they put grenade here, they put gun here, holsters here, put bayonet here, put other belt, holds it what? Together. I can't imagine a soldier going to a war front with his belt loose. Your bante is going. He won't fight. He can't even run. He will be captured. I can't even imagine you coming. One time I was traveling with my wife. We were going for something in Boston. And my trousers that have become bigger now, I put one, forgot my belt. It was at the train station. I realized my trouser was going down. So I told my wife, I said, whoa, this is... So I heard everything together. Carried our box, and I was carrying our boxes. It was heavy. My wife put water, bottles of water. So I was carrying all this. And then holding my trouser with my hand, and my bag was slipping down. I would run. I would stop, do this, and pull it up, and put it in, and put it again. And all I needed was simple belt. So if you don't have this truth, you don't have a belt. You can't run. You can't carry your body, the armor and everything. You can't run. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit tells the church is if you want to resist this thing, you must be somebody who is familiar with the truth. Amen? And before I go further, I want to deal with some things that are detrimental to you, your spiritual well-being, that helps the devil knock life out of your Christianity and finally destroy your life. And do you know that if you are spiritually unhealthy, your body finally will be unhealthy? Oh, you have no idea. Yeah. And everything about you will be what? Healthy. Because the things that are seen are made by the things. The Bible said that if a man, he said, the body without the spirit is finished, it's dead. So if your spirit supplies you life and your spirit is sick, will supply you sickness. The body without the spirit is what? Dead. Which means it is from your spirit that your life emanates. Because once your spirit lives, this thing has no ability to live. It doesn't have ability to live. And if your spirit is sick, is poisoned, is not functioning well, all your life affair will not function well. You find yourself being cantankerous, being quarrelsome, being distracted by this, things of this world. Let me fight here, fight there, because something is wrong inside. That's why Jesus said, first of all, cleanse what? Then the outside will be healthy. And it's the truth that cleanses the inside. Jesus said you are clean because of the words I've spoken to you. It's the truth that feeds the inside and makes it healthy. But let me deal with some character traits that are very, very counterproductive, which a Christian must watch out for. You know that the truth is the Word of God, and the Word of God reveals to us things about these character traits. Number one, he says, study to show thyself what? Approve unto God. That is 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of God. So it's not that you read the Bible that is the issue. It's not that you go to where they teach it is the issue. It's what they are teaching you. Is it the writing? Because the devil teaches Bible too. The devil teaches Bible too. So he says, you must rightly divide the word of truth. And if you don't want to be ashamed, you need to study. If you don't want to lose battles, because the truth is your belt, you need to what? Study. And if you don't continue in this truth, you won't know it. And if you don't know it, you are ignorant. And my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Study. Now I want to ask us a question. How many of us believe that God is wiser than all of us? I know everybody believes that. Why don't you do everything God says? Why do we choose to do things our way? God says, study. If you don't want to be if you don't want to be ashamed, do what? Study this thing to know it. And then number two question I want to ask you. Do you think that God, in his wisdom, said to you, I'll put teachers to teach you this thing, which means you cannot know this thing except these teachers teach you? Do you know that if we didn't need teachers, God won't put them in the church? God won't put them. But if God put teachers and said, you need to go to the teachers that I've anointed and put over you, it means you can't know this truth the much you should know it unless you go and be taught by the people I sent to teach you. You think God just does things like schizophrenic stuff? He does everything in order. Everything that God gives me in life, I need it. If I don't make use of it, something will be a gaping hole there, and it will affect me. You think you can get by without those teachers? So why did God give them to you? Why? Then either you know more than God or wiser than God, and you're telling God, see, this arrangement you made is not good for me. I made my own arrangement. I don't need your teachers now because I know what I'm doing. God said, no, you need them. Because if you didn't need them, I won't bring them to you. But exactly those teachers are the ones we neglect. I wonder why everything is going here where. Within the Bible says, be ye doers of what? The word, or else you are deceiving yourself. He said, I put teachers over you, and they say, be under that authority. Hey, I know you know too much, my friend. Just be under the authority I put over you. Because if you are not humble and meek, this word cannot be engrafted in your heart. It's not going to happen. First thing God taught me, when God was pulling me to be a pastor, he said, I don't work with pride. He said, first thing I'll do in your life is I'm knocking out all your pride. Everything. All this religious pride, all of this is going. He said, don't you read my word? I resist the proud every day. I don't work with them. He said, that's what I said. I didn't say I work with them. I said, I resist them. Because they are God unto themselves. They won't listen to me. He said, everything you trusted in your life, I'll knock them out. So you fall flat on nothing. He said, it's a story. He said, I'm going to knock everything you think is worth anything in your life. I'm knocking them. I do it myself. I'm not waiting for you. And he did. And I cried like a baby. And truly, truly, those things made me. But I didn't know. He said, you see, ignorance will block you, blind you, don't know anything. You know you can be proud and not know it. And pride blinds like nothing else. Pride, you will argue, how can I be proud? It blinds or darkness. I would never have thought that I was proud. And I went to my dear wife. I said, honey, I said, God said, I've forgotten what I said God told me. I said, God said, I'm proud. He said, yes, I've been praying for you. I said, really? Do you see me as proud? He said, sure you are. But in my own eyes, I was the most humble person on earth. The God that judges of the heart says, this man is what? Proud. And my wife said, amen. Yes. Pride is so destructive. Brethren, I am begging you, get out of. It will take you nowhere. Your life will be run around the circle. You will make no progress with God. He will resist you. And he will make sure you come back. Because he said it in his word. He said, if you lift yourself up, I, God, will what? Bring you down myself. But if you make yourself of no reputation, then I, God, will. So he said, okay, now let's do the test now. I'll put teachers over you to teach you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of. Do you know the mighty hand of God? It's the church. It's the name of Jesus. We're studying the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When we come to the ministry of His ministry among us, you see how the church is the armor. You see how when God puts authority, if you want to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, you go under the authority of God. You will see what has happened to people who challenge the authority of God. And if you don't understand this, go and read the scripture and say, you can resist the devil when your own submission has been completed. You cannot be in rebellion and be fighting a rebel like yourself. You can't be in rebellion and be fighting a rebel. You say your own rebellion, your own submission must be what? Complete. You must be complete. He says, therefore, submit to God first. And then do what? You are not talking to me now. The first condition is what? Submit to God first. You can't be a rebel like the devil. I'm going to be talking to a rebel. The rebel says, I know Jesus, but you, my friend, you are part of us. What are you talking about? When the church people talk about this here, binding and losing and looking at people and saying, submit to God first. But we won't listen. Won't listen. We think that the devil responds to shouting and yelling. If he responds to shouting, then you get a microphone. He says, I know Paul. I know Paul very well. Know this man very, very well. He submitted to Jesus. And I know Jesus the Lord, but you who... So even you. He says, submit to God first. Brethren, it's in your Bible. You say, I know Jesus and I know Paul. He submits to Christ. I understand this man. So he's not part of us. But you got you people in our group that I'm in charge of. I'm in charge of rebellion. So I'm your boss. So study is, part of study is humble yourself and be under teachers. Just make yourself nothing so God will lift you up. Just make yourself nothing. Just absolutely nothing. That's all. Do you know, the Bible gave us two reasons why Jesus was lifted. One, because he hates iniquity. Because the Father hates iniquity. The Bible says he hates iniquity. Because of that, God has anointed him with oil of gladness above his fellows. Because he hated iniquity and loved righteousness. He's given us a reason. Then the other reason is because he made himself of no reputation and became less than a servant so that he can do what God said. And the Bible says, because of that, too, God gave him a name that's above everyone. So we must be people who recognize when God says a thing, if I really want to fight this battle, I should obey the commander in chief. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was sharing with them my problem when I came to this country. When I was being too zealous and bang, 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 bang. I was talking to our leaders, really, trying to correct them. God said, I gave you 10 years to stop in Canaan. Can you imagine the patience of God? He said, I waited for you 10 years this month. 10 solid years I was waiting for you. You go there and tell them, we should pray. You know, African jim, to do this one. And correct them with anger and everything. You know? And God said, 10 years! 10! I was patient with you. Until the day he showed me my life, I cried in public like a baby. Say, you are so proud of me. You are so kind. I'm telling you. I'm not kidding. Say, you are so proud. And my wife, you call me and tell me. And I said, it's because you don't go to that meeting. If you go there, you see what I see. Oh, you do the same thing. Say, my husband is not like that. I didn't listen. until God opened my eyes. Believe you me, that day, the devil blinds people, honestly speaking. That day was like something was pulled like this, like that. My ear, pop, 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 pop. And for the first time, I heard these people very well. Their voice was so humble, so loving, so caring. I started crying. I didn't need someone. My own was hammer, cut, nail, whip. Their own was flowing, flowing, flowing. Oh my God. I said, these people have been tolerating me. And they came around when I was crying. They said, Chinedu, we love you. I cried them all. But you know, thank God for his mercy. I had to really go to them and apologize to one of them. Each of them, I apologized to them and submitted to the authority. Then allowed God to do what? God. And all those things I was pointing out, they started doing them one by one without my intervention. They were doing them one by one, up to today. Doing them one by one. When I stepped outside and let God do this, I submitted to them. And I'm still submissive to them. You were here when they came here. They did everything. I sat there. They are the bosses. What do we gain from this pride then? Tell me one profit from it. What have you benefited from? I know they're here. What, tell me what you benefit from. It must go today. I say it must go when? Make yourself. Let them trample upon you. Forget about trampling. Let them do. The Lord will come to that dunghill and pick you up. And if he picks you up and opens a door, no man can close it. No man can. I don't care who you are. Are we not a covenant church? See what God is doing? Because I went and said that anything people say I do. Please. Because he's, except the Lord, this thing you are doing is a waste of time. It won't take you anywhere. All this bang, 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 bang. It will take you anywhere. It's just noise. Noise. And I'll make the devil mess you up in your life. Mess, resist you, mess you up. Shame. Then the second thing is indiscipline and lack of self-control. That one is, it's a character trait that really, really invites the devil in and gives him control over your life. Look at Proverbs 16:32. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than what? The mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes what? A city. Than he who takes a city. Our emotions rule us. After all that emotion, he or We have gotten nothing useful except open the door to the devil. The Bible said the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. It can't work the work of God. It doesn't work the work of God. It doesn't. That's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, I don't use things like that. I use kind words. When I speak in love. He said, the wrath of man, all this emotional kapam, and then you take off. God is not in it. And if God is not in it, can you tell me one thing you benefit from it? All you benefit from is this noise. After making people go and say, you see, he says he's a Christian. Have you seen? That's all you get from it. But you can never achieve anything from it. Because God is not in it. Okay? It's because except God is in it, those that are building, wasting. Except God is in it. And so he's saying that if you have control over their spirit, you are better than you can take. You are better than he. You have all. You have what it takes to take even a city now, because God is the power that is behind that thing you are doing. Look at the second scripture, Proverbs 25, verse 28. We'll read it together. Okay, let's go, everybody. Let's go, everybody, loud. He that had no rule over his own spirit is like what? A city that is broken down and without What he says, you have no protection. The enemy will sneak in anytime. Because you have no self-control. You have no discipline. So it's like a city without. Why don't you try that kind of house in Lagos? No wall. See how far you go. One time, our former church, they forgot to close the door. The front door was a little bit open. For the first time, thieves went in there because the door was. They went in there, looked at the whole place, saw they stole our camera, and then the alarm went off. They ran. What invited them in was the door was. That's what the scripture said. He said, if you don't have control over your spirit, you are like a city that has no control, no gate whatsoever. You are open. Anything can crawl into your life, do whatever they want to do. Have you seen Christians display lack of discipline? Lack of control. And they think that's spirituality. Spiritual people, they keep quiet, they're watching you and they're communing with God in their heart. The Bible talks of Mary. He said, he kept these things where? And about Joseph. He said, Joseph kept these things where? Spiritual people. They don't talk unless the Lord inspires the people. Because they know they can't do anything. That's why if I sit watching, if you fight, I won't even come. When you finish fighting, I sit you there and be preaching to you. Because I can't do anything except the Lord does. Thursday, I said it. I keep saying it. Listen to me, everybody. You either learn by wisdom or you learn by experience. But one way, you come face to face with the truth. The Bible says you can do nothing for the truth against the truth, but you either learn by wisdom of God is teaching you, stop this, or experience itself will teach you the thing. Tight, you won't tight until demons take over everything in your life. Then your eyes will open. Then even your eyes will open because you won't even know what things are happening. You won't even know why it's happening because they eat your bread because you're a thief. That's what God told the simple McPherson that started Foursquare on the street of California, Los Angeles. The Lord called her a thief. He said, Lord, I'm not a thief. He said, you are the worst thief in this city. Has anybody read it? Am I the only one? You read it? You read it? The Lord said, you are the worst thief in this city. He said, you are stealing my money. And the girl wrote about it. And the Lord said, you better stop stealing. The devourers will come after you because you are a thief. You are stealing God's money. He said, and the Lord told him, he said, if men steal men's money, they are thieves. But when you start stealing from God, you are worse than them. I don't even know why things like this is an issue. You read the whole Bible. You find the whole Bible teaching you should tithe. Right from before the law came, tithing started not under the law. It started before the law as a revelation to Abraham. So it wasn't the law that established tithing. Just like Abraham discovered the righteousness of faith. And Jesus said, Abraham saw my days and rejoiced. Don't you understand that the covenant you're running is concurrent with Abraham's covenant? Isn't it why they call you children of Abraham? I said Abraham's blessings are, if you pay tithe, you should pay. The same covenant is the covenant, the promise that was made to Abraham and the seed that the church is enjoying. Go and put the covenant of Abraham and this New Testament side by side and see how it is the same. The priesthood was Melchizedek, no beginning, no end. Our priesthood is Jesus, no beginning, no end. Go and compare it together. Circumcision. With this body circumcision in our own circumcision, male without, the same, overlapping. The priesthood here, the same, he said, after the order of Melchizedek. The same thing. This priesthood received tithe, this priesthood received tithe. Read it for yourself. And Jesus came and endorsed tithe. The Bible says that Jesus sanctified all food when he declared that no food can defile a man. So whatever Jesus endorses is sanctified.
And so the Holy Spirit writing letter said that this demonic spirit, they will want stop you from eating. He said, but food has been, that food is good to be received because it has been sanctified by the word. Which word? Is the word that Jesus spoke about food, that there's nothing from without that can defy. And the Bible said, by saying this, he sanctified all food. That's what the Holy Spirit was referring to. So when Jesus said, I endorse this, that is sanctified for the church. Don't you understand? That Paul was talking, he said the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus. That's what we remember. He said, remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said. So if he said that, then that's what we do. And Jesus said to the Jews, hey, you tithe, but you forget the justice and things. He said, but you ought to tithe and also do this. By saying that, he endorsed tithing and sanctified it. If you are in the body of Christ, you don't defy what God sanctified. He said, what I sanctify, don't call common. If God, Jesus endorsed it, it's forever. Can I hear amen? Even the Holy Spirit came in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, and told us that the church tithes. Even present church tithes. He didn't use the word received. He said, here, men that die receive. He didn't say received. Receive. And he said, and they received that. He said, but it is he that the witness that he lives received them when they go. Who do we witness that he lives? Jesus. We don't witness of anybody that he lives. And Jesus said, if you come, I will receive you unto myself. So he's talking about the Levites tithed, the priesthood of Melchizedek that didn't belong to the Levites took tithe, that even the church, oh, praise the Lord. I want to go into all of that. I don't know why it's a headache for anybody. Giving God something is a headache for you, you have an issue. Lord, I don't know why I went there. One day I'll take time and teach you a type. So stop all these things that demons have been cheating you. My wife and I suffered for not that. We paid incredible. We did. And God spoke to her audibly and said, you bring my title. That was what changed our life in this country. In this country. I don't know why I went there. It's not in my sermon. But praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yep. You don't dare. If Jesus sanctifies something, the church does it. Because he's the Lord of the church. He's the head of the church. His word is yea. If he endorses. Look, there are things we do that the early church didn't do. Tell you one of them. We asked Brother So to lead us in prayer. They didn't ask anybody to lead them in prayer. They prayed in one accord at the same time. Read your Bible. But we come here and say, brother, lead us in prayer. You will never see where the early church called Brother So-so to lead them in prayer. But we call brother to lead us in prayer. Why do we do that? Because the principle of prayer is the same. I can tell you a lot of things that we do in church that wasn't done by the we didn't see record, they did it. But we do them. Because the principle is the same. The spirit behind it is the same. The spirit and the word agree. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's why you have pastors to teach you. I better listen to them. Because God will teach us. So, we need to be disciplined. And then the other one is laziness. Laziness is to be avoided, and slothfulness is to be avoided. If laziness creeps into your life, you will not win any spiritual battle anyway. Just forget it. It's not going to happen. You won't even prosper in life. Because laziness will not let you get up and go for Bible studies most of the time. It won't let you do anything. It won't let you study the Bible. You do things at your leisure. If it's convenient, yeah. If it's not, you don't serve God at your convenience. You serve God at his own convenience. That's what it means to say, you are Lord over my life. You pay price for this thing. Brother, did you read the Bible and see the price Paul paid? Did Did you read Hebrews chapter 11 and see the price people paid? Do you know the price that Jesus paid? Do you know the price that people paid to bring the gospel to Africa? They were children of very rich people. Do you know the price? Their graves are scattered all over Africa. Do you know the price they paid? And you can't get up your couch and go to Bible study. You sit down there and cross your leg and have all these good reasons. You won't get up and study your Bible. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 30. It talks about laziness, procrastination. What you are supposed to do, you postpone it for another day. Proverbs 24, 30. I went by the field of the slothful and unkept, and by the vineyard of the man void of what? Say, this man that is lazy has no understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nestles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. He's talking about your spiritual life that is unkept. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. He said, I looked at this. Whoa, I learned a lesson. Yet a little sleep, a little what? Slumber. A little folding of the arms to sleep some more. Watch more television. So shall thy poverty come as one that travel. He said, your poverty is traveling and coming. It's on 280. It's like it's coming. That's what he said. He said, it's traveling, it's coming. Poverty, spiritual poverty, physical poverty, financial poverty. He said, it's coming. Because if you don't walk, you don't. It's simple. It's the spiritual law. He said, your poverty is coming. And I want, as an armed man, he said, will come and grab you by force. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that what? Sleepest, and arise from the dead. Did you see how the Holy Spirit called it? He said, you are spiritually what? Dead. Arise. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from what? Come on, church. Arise from what? I didn't hear you. Arise from what? Say, you are dead. You are vulnerable. That place you are lying there, he said, you are totally vulnerable. You are dead. Anything can crawl. Mosquitoes can bite. You won't even move. Anything can happen there. You are dead. He said, you are dead. He said, and Christ shall now give thee light when you arise from that slumber. Praise the Lord. There is nothing good that comes cheap. If wishes were horses, beggars would ride it. Christianity is the most important thing in your life. Money will help you to an extent. I'm a pastor. I've seen people come to a situation where money can't help. I've seen people in a situation where professionals they can't do anything. And the next thing is they call their pastor. I've been called to come. You're going to do surgery. And the doctor said he needs to come. Because this is death starting us in the face. I've been called. And I saw where the limit of money is and man's limit is. The things that now become impossible with men. It's only possible with who? And nobody knows who gets there the next. This is the most important thing in your life. That the devil will make you trivialize it as if to say you have any answer to the terrible things the devil is doing around us. Don't you see the hospitals? They are building more hospitals. They're expanding them. I went to I stood there and saw expansion. I said to myself, Lord, are they expanding this for human beings? Expanding the car parks. And immediately they finished building it, it wasn't sufficient. Can't we realize what is going on in this world where we live? That what the scripture says is happening.
A sister from this church went to see somebody in hospital and then went to use the restroom. A woman lying there said, "I wish I can use the restroom like you. I wish I can get up and go and use the restroom like you." At those moments, what do you think solves your problem in life? Your money in the bank? Or people you know? No, it's the truth you know. That will set you what? But those are the truths that the devil convinces you don't need. You don't learn to swim when you are drowning. I'm telling you, purple church, I'm begging you. You don't bother. Don't look, you don't learn. You can't. So we must be people who know these things and invest time in it, invest resources in it, because we need the songwriter say, "I need the what? Every hour." And then stubbornness is the one that the devil uses to finish people off. Stubbornness is demonic. Stubbornness is what? It's demonic activity. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. This is the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. And what is it again? Easy to be entreated. It's never stubborn. The Bible says, "My servant must not be strong, self-willed." So the servant of the Lord must not, not may, must not be strong, self, this self-willed, strong self, he said, must not be. It's precursor to stubbornness. And stubbornness, let me repeat it, you know, like they say, police activity. Stubbornness is demonic activity. Because it's contrary to that comes from heaven. And then when the stubborn spirit comes, it stops you from listening to anybody. Because you know what you're doing. Then the Bible said, in that state of mind, listen to me, that you made a covenant with what? Death. You are dead, are in a covenant. My mentor said, make a mental note of stubborn people and watch their end. Let me show you what the scripture says. Isaiah 28:14. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men. He said, who rule these people who are in Jerusalem? 15. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with what? Huh? We have made a covenant with what? Death. And with which is hell. We are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. We are safe. So all that thing they are talking is not for me. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. See, said all that false sense of safety is lying. Stubborn people will never listen. They think they know what they are. They were safe. Ah, nothing will happen. Oh, we're sure what. That's what they say. Say, because you made a covenant with death and with hell. Because you say nothing happened. I'm safe, man. We need to fight this battle. But there are character traits that enhances it for the devil. There are character traits that give the Holy Spirit advantage. The choice is yours.